Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
Well,
is this Matt Hamilton?
Am I not allowed to know the word filibustering?
I just didn't see that coming, that's all.
Well, good, I want to keep you on your toes.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
Matt is singing the song, What's Up With That? We are delighted to be joined by Jason Wilde. Jason, how's it going?
Delighted. I think I like that better than thrilled. It sounds more authentic.
I know. It is more authentic because it's me.
But you're more authentic. Exactly. You beat me to the punch.
There you go. Bam, bam. Jason, I want to talk about somebody that I guarantee you have not talked about recently. At least I hope not, because I hope I'm being creative enough. Jacob Monk. What's up with him?
I just asked Matt LaFleur about him yesterday. So
okay.
How creative are you, really?
Well, I guess if you asked about him, then I am creative because you are creative.
Great minds think alike.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I was about to say. So, you know, because it's a really good question, actually, and not just because I asked it. You know what? I'm going to go back into Lambeau Field. Because it's windy out here, and you're not going to be able to hear me as I walk to my car. So here's what's interesting. He's active for the playoff game in Philadelphia, right? They have Elgton Jenkins get hurt. Then Travis Glover goes in at left guard, even though he's a tackle, plays poorly. So then they take him out. They put in Kadeem Telfers, who's also a tackle, who also plays poorly. Jacob Monk was active for that game. They never actually put him in.
Yep.
And on top of that, then when Josh Myers suffers an injury, the starting center, they don't put him in either. They move Sean Ryan to center, and they put Travis Glover, who already played poorly once, back into the game at a different guard spot. And so here's Jacob Monk, a fifth-round pick, never played a single snap all season. And now, I understand, and Matt LaFleur has certainly been adamant about this. It's clear that it frustrates him, that we've gone through the entire offseason program. He keeps, you know, complaining about the restrictions that there are on what they're able to do. But even with those restrictions, the fact that this kid has gotten a ton of work that he wouldn't have gotten had Elgton Jenkins not been sitting out, skipping it because of his contract situation, that's got to help, right? And that was why I asked about him. And I didn't think LaFleur delivered like a particularly enthusiastic review. Like, yeah, you know, he works really hard and he does the right things. But, and then he went back into his complaining about the way the offseason program is structured and what they're allowed to do in practice and there's no contact. And you know, he finished up by basically saying, yeah, well, we'll see what he does in training camp. So, you know, I would argue that no matter what you are doing, if you don't have a lot of experience, any experience you get has value. And so Jacob Monk has to be one of the people that got the most out of the offseason program of any of the 90 players on the team. Now, whether that translates into him being, you know, active on game day and being a versatile enough backup piece that he could play either guard spot or center, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, this is a team that obviously is looking for something different from their offensive line, right? That's why they signed Aaron Banks. That's why they didn't bring back Josh Myers. It's why they haven't extended to this point any of the three guys that are going into the final years of their deals. So there's a lot to prove in that group, and there is opportunity in that group. And Jacob Monk's going to have one, and we'll see what he does with it.
Jason, so our poll question is asking, what position group are you most confident in the Packers? And we gave three options and then other write-in. The options we gave were wide receiver, offensive line, and running back. Or other, if you've got a different one.
It has to be offense?
Nope.
Like, I would say my first answer would be safety. Like, Xavier McKinney is one of the best two safeties in the league, right? He's a first-team all-pro. And not only do they have Evan Williams, who, you know, as I've said many times, reminds me of Micah Hyde, who went on to Buffalo because this team was too stupid to re-sign him, and had a great career there. He's got a lot of Micah's qualities, and, you know, one of my favorite things is bringing that up, and of course Tausch got after me for the comparison. And then I talked to Evan Williams about it, and he's like, yeah, I watch Micah Hyde film all the time. You know, I patterned my game after him. And then I texted Micah, and Micah said, oh, yeah, I've been watching him. He's wearing my number. He's an impressive kid. Like, he's got something. There's something special about Evan Williams. And so you've got two starters that are, you know, really good football players. But then you've got Javon Bullard. You've got Ketan Oladapo. Heck, even Zane Anderson started a game and played well for them last year. So I would say that that is by far their deepest position. After that, you know, I look at wide receiver and I think it's really interesting because if you count up all the guys that I would argue, and I'm not saying any of them is an elite player at this point or is even a true number one wide receiver, but think about who they have. And let's include Watson in this list, even though I don't believe he's going to be ready for the opener, but he sure looks damn good when he's running around right now. He's not cutting, which obviously is a pretty big piece of coming back from an ACL. But let's just put him on the list just because he's here. So it's Watson, it's Dobbs, it's Reed, it's Wicks, it's Bo Melton, it's Malik Heath. Mm-hmm. You drafted Matthew Golden, you drafted Savion Williams, and Mecole Hardman made two enormous plays the first 2 days of the minicamp, walk-off touchdowns. That's nine guys that are NFL roster caliber wide receivers. They're not going to keep all nine. Now, you know, we can certainly have a spirited debate about how many of them are good enough to be a one and a two or a two and a three or whatever else. There's all those guys have something to prove.
Do all of them make a roster?
Nine guys.
Like, if they're anywhere else in the league?
Not this one.
No, not this one. But, yeah, like, we had this debate earlier. Like, which ones wouldn't make every NFL team? And I was like, I think there's only, like, two or three that would definitely make the team, like, a starting spot in 31 other teams in this league.
Yeah, and I look at it a little differently, Matt. I would say, you know, because I don't know, first of all, I don't know the depth charts of the other 31 teams in terms of wide receivers. I know most of the number one and number twos, but beyond that, you know, I cover the Packers. I'd like to be more well-versed, but I have a life. I would say that I don't know if all of those guys could play on all 31 teams, but whoever of those nine don't make the team, I think they'll find a spot on someone else's roster somewhere. And even Mecole Hardman, who obviously has not been super productive and has had some injury issues the last couple of years. I mean, 2 years ago, the dude freaking caught the game-winning overtime touchdown pass in the Super Bowl from Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl for the Chiefs. Like, that's a pretty big thing on your resume. So my point is that, you know, we talked a lot about Bo Melton this week and him working a corner. And is that, you know, kind of the beginning of the end for him? I personally don't think so. Now, I am biased because I really, really like Bo. Like, he's, you know, there's a lot of good football players. There are not as many guys that are truly good humans, and he's one of them. And I think with his special teams acumen, with the fact that he's the type of player who willingly takes on an extra job in corner, and the fact that he's got something you can't teach, which is speed, and he's had production as a wide receiver. We all remember the Minnesota game on New Year's Eve 2023, where he was the first one on the roster that year, and he wasn't even on the roster. He was a game day call-up from the practice squad to have a 100-yard game. He was the first one of all those guys that they have a wide receiver. So I think he's a guy that has value and I think will be here. But again, there's only so many spots, and you know, Matthew Golden's going to be here. Savion Williams is going to be here. You don't pick guys in the first and third round and then not have them make your team. What I would argue is, unfortunately, having done this a long time, a lot of times decisions get made for you, right? Like a guy, you know, ruptures his Achilles or whatever terrible injury has been known to happen to guys. You know, suddenly now, or even if it's not a major injury, maybe it's just a a torn MCL that's going to put him out 4 to 6 weeks. Suddenly now you're not as deep as you thought you were at that position. So I would say those two are the ones that kind of jump out at me. The offensive line has some unproven depth, so I don't like that one. And running back, look, Emmanuel Wilson is a better player than he gets credit for. And certainly they like Chris Brooks, who's kind of just a workman-like, cool veteran who is cool under pressure. But, you know, for everyone who's excited about, oh, Marshawn Lloyd is going to be the top backup behind Josh Jacobs, he very well could be. They really like a lot about him, but unfortunately, after the season he had last year as a rookie, I'll believe it when I see it, because he's got to find a way to stay 100% healthy so he can be that guy that they can rely on for 10, 12 carries a game if they want to run the ball 30 times so it's not Josh Jacobs all day long.
Jason, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us, and we hope you have a great Father's Day weekend.
It was delightful.
It was and thrilling. Thanks for accommodating me. I had a top secret high level meeting at Lambeau Field that I can't tell you about. And don't ask Wooly, because I told him what it was so he wouldn't tell anyone. And I don't know what his track record is of keeping secrets, so don't even ask him. Which, of course, I'm going to hang up and you're immediately going to ask him.
Yeah.
So,
what? That's not going to last long.
Thanks for adjusting, because I know it threw off your schedule. So I appreciate it, guys. Take
care.
Be good.
That was Jason Wilde. You can hear him weekdays from 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin on Wilde and Tausch. We got to get to pole dancing, but first, let's hear from Jim.
Go be a winner. Go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Every weekend, they have hundreds of winners and millions of dollars won at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. What are you waiting for? Head there this weekend. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison is for winners.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Come on, Matt. You're the fantasy football guy.
Yeah. I know, but like, we're pretty far removed from fantasy last year. Like,
and honestly, you're into tight ends. Like, I knew how that was going to sound before I said it, but I didn't mean it like...
Okay.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.